you know, you may formulate an idea about what would be good for you, and then you take 10 steps towards that, and you find out that your formulation was a bit off, and so you have to reformulate your goal. You know, you're kind of going like this as you move towards the goal. But a huge part of the reason that people fail is because they don't ever set up the criteria for success.
Hey, everybody. We're back for the second part of the interview with Ty here on the My First Amendment Right podcast. And Ty, we ended our first part of our chat kind of getting into how the community was when you first found yourself getting involved in it. And the real meat and potatoes here, as I'll say, of why I wanted to chat with you is in 2024, you and I find ourselves quite aligned now on our view of the community. And as I've seen you posting, it aligns with what I've been doing. And I have been taking it upon myself to distance myself from what I would call the movement of LGBT. You know, I'm not ostracizing my friends that I've made through the years. I don't hate gays all of a sudden. I don't hate bisexuals all of a sudden. I don't hate queer people. I don't hate trans people all of a sudden, right? But when you watch people that come from a marginalized stance or people that are bullied and aren't given the proper guidance on how to come back the other way, you find that those people usually are looking for any opportunity they can to become the bullies themselves.
Yeah, in a way. I wouldn't disagree with that. Yeah, there's always like, I think it's always like the pendulum. Like, you push something one way, it's going to come back.
Exactly like, what I would say. Yeah. You know, so. And like you said, with your first experience with the Pride Parade, my first time was the World Pride in New York. And because of my career and the people that I worked with, I got to be in the parade itself.
Gosh.
And I'll say that was like an overwhelming experience just, you know, to be paraded through New York City, right?
Yeah.
As a younger man, you get carried away with that. But
yeah, that sounds exciting. Like,
but I, like you, when I got involved in it, and I'm thinking pride. Okay, pride. That means that's something I need to be proud of, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, and again, I come from a very mixed background in how I view society and like my role in society. And I kind of get the need for decorum and the need for etiquette and the need to make something of yourself that people can respect.
Yeah.
And what I found in my first Pride Parade was, like you said, a lot of debauchery.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a little bit. It was like it was the main fucking theme.
Yeah.
And to me, and again, I it wasn't like I blasted the community at that point, but, you know, I had some friends that I trusted to talk to. And, you know, because I was on the bi side, so we're the underbelly of the community. We don't get propped up like the gays, the lesbians. I mean, you forget about lesbians, right? At this point, like, yeah. Who talked, like...
Gays are getting chopped off now, too. Like, we're not even... I mean, actual gay people, because now they just take the word gay, and, like, now it's, like, these weird straight women have decided that they're gay now.
And they gay. Like you said, a pendulum, I would talk to them, and I'd be like, you know... I was like, you guys don't think that with these parades, you should maybe reel in the just blatant sexuality of it a little bit?
Yeah. Overt displays. Yeah. Like, you don't need to be like having sex in the street, like quite literally. And people they're like, that doesn't happen. I'm like,
it does it now.
It does.
It does. It does.
I don't know how else to say this. Like, it does. And I'm not going to go post porn. Like, it literally, it does. Like
if you did that outside the parade, you'd be on a registry as an offender.
Exactly. And, like, the people that do it in the parade, low-key should be on a registry. So, not even, it's, like, just fucking crazy. So, yeah, I'll, like, that's
my know, fact. And it's, like, I try to tell them, like, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like it's the exact same thing I say. It's like, have you guys ever heard of a pendulum?
Yeah.
You know, I can't justify celebrating the most lowest tier level of who I am, which is my sexuality.
Yeah.
I want to see your doctors. I want to see your lawyers. I want to see the people that are helping make the community a better place for the people that are in the community. Because if you notice, the kind of current theme for LGBT is no one can keep a partner.
Yeah, that's an insult that I get all the time. Like, people will be like, your marriage is going to fail. Oh, your husband hates on you. Oh, your husband's cheating on you somewhere. Da, 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 da. They'll make some weird little like statement because they think it's going to they can't stand a relationship that's stable. They don't like it because it goes against their whole, like, we have to be all pansexual into each other and having like a sexual orgy all the time, which people act like that's dramatic, but like, I'm sorry, that's fucking not dramatic. That is a very often happening. And so I think that it's almost like naive. Well, it's just uninformed and misinformed. And I just think that it's one of those things that a lot of people get very upset about it when people say something like that, because they get really defensive because they feel like they're supposed to defend that community at all costs at this point. But it's like, there's things not to defend. Like, some things are worth criticizing and worth letting go of to move forward. And that's like, I'm glad you kind of said all that, because I agree. Like, that's where we are very aligned. In that, where the debaucherous kind of overly, the celebration of like, let's get to the most like down low common denominator, whatever they can find to like, just like, it's just absolutely crazy that, and it's almost like also the separating that, it's also now also this like race to victimhood that they also have like interwoven in all this like sexual, like kind of sexual, physical, all these different kind of like displays that they have going on. So it's like, I don't know, they've interwoven a lot of different themes, because I think right now it's all just Marxist bullshit. Like, it's because that's, if we're really gonna like dig it up and like peel back all the layers of the onion and get to the core of it, like it's really all about the victim class versus the oppressors, and they will do anything to do somersaults and cartwheels to create an oppressor over them in any way. They have to create one always. There's always going to be a new one. It's always something like that. And that's really one of the things that just drove me away from it, because like the whole identifying as a victim all the time, which I think is really interesting, because it's antithetical to pride, like being prideful in yourself, then you're being victim, you're self-victimizing. Which they hate that too, that they, when someone says they're self-victimizing, I'm like, you are self-victimizing, because you are affirmatively choosing to see things in the most dramatic and victimized way, deliberately. It's because I'm also a gay person, and I'm not seeing it that way. Like, and there's thousands and thousands of people. I've encountered so many thousands of people on this Twitter journey that I've like now become very outspoken and stuff. Like, it's like, so many people agree. So it's like, they act like, oh, you're the only person, you little pick me, go away, go back in the closet. Someone said that to me today, actually. And I was like, that's why it was like top of mind. And it's like, they say that, and it's like, you know what? Like, I know that there's thousands and thousands and thousands, probably millions of gay men that feel the same way, that feel like they can't say anything and they can't do it. Bisexual men, all these people. Yeah. They can't say, your friends even, you were talking about your friends earlier. Like, your friends, even most of them probably even feel that way, but they just feel like they can't express it or even say anything. Cause I have people tell me all the time that you say things I can't say. I'm like, you can say it too. You just won't, but it's fine.
Yeah. You know, not a lot of people. I've accepted God in my life recently. So the way I have to view things is everything happens for a reason. I'm so fortunate to have experienced cancellation on a major scale. Mm-hmm. I'm still here.
Yeah, we're moving forward. It's like, it's great. Like, it's, I agree with you, and congratulations on finding God. That's an amazing thing. Like, I also had an amazing experience with my husband, because he's Catholic, very Catholic with his family. So like, they were really great. And I've like gotten much more in touch with it, because I always grew up spiritual and stuff like that. But it's like, which I think is another thing that the community hates. They can't, they can't do anything. They can't get
The worst thing you could be right now is a cis And I hate that fucking word,
to be honest. White cisgendered.
Just a white man.
A white religious cisgendered man.
Yeah, just a white conservative Catholic man right now. You are treated like the devil.
You are like a terrorist in their mind.
Yeah, pretty much. You are a domestic terrorist. Like the most
nice, caring, giving person. You have a great family.
If you are white and you have a penis that doesn't go in another man's ass,
yeah.
And you are religious, you are racist, you are sexist, you are transphobic, you are...
Because I'm also, hating all these different things. Yeah.
You know, and you know, what's funny is, you know, like I said, I fall in a weird middle, and it's funny to see the LGBT community now. They're still a minority in the country. And
I mean, they're trying so hard with all the added little things. They're getting closer every day. Like, you know, like,
when I grew up in the 90s, it really didn't matter who the fuck you were. We all kind of knew not to trust the government. And we also talked about mass conformity. And we all knew that both of those were bad. And so what you have now, the LGBT community has, the movement itself has been hijacked by the government.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't see the numbers in Congress. I don't see the votes. So it's like, okay, you guys need to really slow your fucking roll and shut the fuck up, because... without straight people, how do you think you pass legislation for a gay marriage?
Yeah, thank you. Oh my god. Oh my fucking god.
We don't have the fucking number.
I feel so, I've said that so many fucking times. Like, I don't, like, thank you for saying that. Like,
we're canceling Pride Month. We're doing Straight Appreciation Month, because without straight people, it's still in the fucking dark ages.
I mean... Literally, none
because
of
most people are good.
Would exist without a straight person. I love that meme when people are like, "You think you're straight parents?" Like,
right?
When they're like,
you're right. Straight. You know, and don't get them involved in the LGBT. You might have been aborted.
Exactly. Like, I just like I. No, but it's like they don't think about it. It's like they
it's
can't.
Too real
for
them.
Think about it, they get angry. It's like, it's like stages of denial.
Yep. So we were chatting earlier, and we were getting into it before. I just wanted to make sure we kind of wrapped up here on the beginning of your journey. You were starting to get into when you started noticing too much, and you started to be like, yeah, no.
Yeah. It was kind of also in line with, I got into a new relationship with a guy that was more conservative, not my current husband. But probably my most other like meaningful relationship that kind of like forged, kind of like gave me confidence in like being like, you don't have to always conform. Like you talk about the conformity thing. You don't always have to conform. You don't always have to agree. And you don't always have to go along to get along, because it's not always worth it. So in a way, that's like the takeaway that I have from that relationship. He was very conservative. And almost like overly conservative in a way that I personally would think would be like overly compensating for something, but that's fine. And that's his own journey and that's his own process. But there were great things that he got me to like snap out in a way where it's like, because you don't always have to agree, or you don't always have to pretend to agree just because you want to like maintain a friendship or to like make someone like not hate you. Like if they're going to hate you for being truthful, then that's not your friend. Like, you're not going to be friends. That's not your friends. Don't do that.
You
don't
need to be friends with everybody. Be friends with everybody.
No. And that's one. It took me a long time to learn that. Like, I wasn't talking. I'm literally like 21 years old at this point, at least. And that's still the life lesson that I'm coming to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that was part of it, where it's also all these things are kind of put together, where like I kind of was getting more confident and feeling like I don't actually have to like agree with everyone to be friends, which was part of my issue. I think that set me back was I moved from Seattle, went to Florida State. I didn't have any friends here. So I almost felt like I always had to like be like always agreeing with people and always being like, I'm super like nice and like everyone's going to be like, you know what I mean? To like have friends, because everyone's very clicky at FSU, because it's everyone from Florida just like, they all know each other from high school and they're all just like friends.
Right. Yeah. Floridians
it's
like
so hard to break into those groups when they're like, I've known her since I was in seventh grade. And I was like, you. And it's like, and I'm going back to my dorm. Like, do you know what right. I mean? That bullshit. And so yeah, that was hard, but I got over that at like when I was like 21. I kind of like decided like I kind of got a good group of friends that I realized like that weren't gonna give a fuck if I had opinions. And the ones that fell away because they weren't really gonna be my friends. And they weren't really my friend. They were expecting me to be their yes person, or they wanted me to agree with whatever they said. And then like, if they weren't gonna be agreed with, then that's a problem. And that's like, you know what? If that's your beef, then go into wherever you're going.
Yep.
And go on your journey. And like, I'm also really good about that. I don't mind. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I moved around as a kid a lot, that like, I'm very like, if you're like, if we're not going to talk again, bye. Like, it's like one of those things, because that happened to me so many times when I was a kid. Like, you would move, come home, and guess what? We're moving. And so like, then we're moving, and like, bye friends. Like, yeah. It's like one of those things, like, and I was always perpetually, maybe that also made it hard for me to be like, I was always perpetually in this cycle of like, I always had to make sure people liked me. So I was always trying to be like, never controversial with my opinion or making people uncomfortable. So once I started being outspoken is when I started being like, well, not outspoken, like outwardly on public, like on Twitter and stuff, more like outspoken in my friendships or like in my interpersonal relationships, where I wasn't going to be like a little doormat to everyone's fucking opinion anymore.
Mm.
And which is kind of its own way, like everybody needs to come to that point in their life. I think personally, every single person needs to realize that they don't have to literally agree with everything someone says, but or what they think the group is saying. Like, you don't have to. Like, conformity is a fucking mind fuck. It like, it literally, it's literally like, communism is built on that shit. It's like I don't know how else to put it. Like, it's so un-American when you think about conformity and stuff like that. If you really think about like what it really means and where it really goes as on a social level,
mm-hmm.
mind fuck. And so like, when you think about it in the gay terms, I didn't want to be conforming with this whole kind of movement of people that I thought were kind of like just being sheep and like kind of mass affirming each other. And especially when it's starting to get the trans stuff going, because this is also kind of coincided with like the beginning of like the weird little, they stopped calling it gay pride and started like calling it like LGBT pride or whatever. And which was like a really specific thing that they started to do like when I was in college. And it took me a minute to start realizing it. But, and it also happened when I took a class. This is all like coming back to me. I took a class at FSU. And I'm sure that they don't teach this there anymore. But they were, at some point, I can't remember what the fucking class was about either. But at some point, because it was in sociology, and I was in one of my sociology classes, because that's one of the degrees. I had 2 degrees from FSU for my undergrad. It was, and sociology was one of them. And so that was a mind fuck, by the way. You realize how fucking crazy and like insane these like peer-reviewed studies are and what they actually are talking about and the whole peer review process. That was a whole awakening for me too. Giant red pill, if not black pill, honestly. But like one of those things. It's like, and so I realized I was in this class and I was doing this research project, and part of it had to do with like the transgender movement. It's crazy.
It's a rabbit hole to go down.
It's fucking crazy. And they talked about how in the 90s, how transgender, the movement became more mainstream and gained steam. I don't know what the fuck that we were studying. I can't remember where this came up, and I wish I knew where this study was, because I would post this shit everywhere. Anyway, because I would never stop talking about this if I had the actual fucking study handy. And if anyone knows, if they're listening and you know what I'm talking about, and if you're in research or you're in academia or sociology and you know what I'm talking about, you know the study, please send it to me. Send it to Jackson. Please get it to one of us. Anyway, so this study was talking about how in the 90s, the transgender movement, well, it wasn't called transgender, it's transsexuals. They did this thing where they didn't have enough support. And I feel like a lot of people have talked about this now subsequently, but there was a literal study that talked about this. Or it was like a research journal paper or something like this. I don't think it was a study, it was a research paper. And they said how the transgender or transsexual liberation, whatever they wanted to call it, I can't remember what they called it. It was some old school terminology that they used because it was the 90s. like the identified the gay rights movement had gotten a lot of steam and had a lot of support behind it and garnered a lot of money and advocacy and all that stuff from the AIDS movement, from the AIDS crisis and all that stuff in the 80s and stuff. That they identified that was a springboard to acceptance, because there are so many more gay people than there are trans people.
Yep.
And that the gay acceptance was going to be like a foregone conclusion. Even in the 90s, people had already identified this, like these parasitic fucking people had already identified that this was going to be a foregone conclusion, and that they needed to attach or get associate their struggle with the same plight at the same time, because there was all this money behind it.
Right.
So it was, it's literally parasitic. And so what I realized when I was reading that is I realized that it's a fucking parasitic relationship. I can't believe, like, and I realized what was going on and what had happened. And it was almost this crazy realization that, like, what had happened, and it's like, it's too late. Like, they've taken it already. 90s was when I was fucking born. Like, I was like realizing, I was like, this was happening when I was born, and I was in college when I was realizing this. I was like, 20 freaking 2 years later? Are you freaking kidding me? Or 21 years later? And I was like, how do I stop this shit? And you know what I mean? So I realized that. And so that was crazy. And you can't even talk about that, because that's even a controversial thing back then. So I realized I was reading something that was like, interesting. Do you know what right. I mean? You have to just like have a poker face about it, because in class you can't just like be bringing this up and being like, I'm gay, this is crazy, I hate this. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't say that. And so I remember,
we used to use the word, I mean, my class, like when we said gay, we didn't usually mean gay, we just meant it's
stupid.
Stupid. It's just like, it's something we don't want to do because we find it.
Yeah, it's like, dumb. That's fucking gay. Like, and, I used to say that all the fucking time, dude.
If men acted in a way that was unmanly, you know, sometimes you got the word faggot thrown around or stuff like that.
Yeah, you get that.
But rarely you would ever see people go after someone that they knew was gay in such a harsh and brutal manner.
Hardly ever. No, it was not. And they would never really be over them being like gay itself either.
That was exactly. You know, South Park had a wonderful episode on that.
Yeah. And I'm not discounting. I know it does happen sometimes. Like,
oh, yeah. But South Park.
Like, diminish it. And I'm like.
Do you ever watch South Park?
What?
Do you ever watch South Park?
Dude, I love that show.
They had a wonderful episode where they redefined the word fag. You remember that?
No, but I'm going to go look it up and rewatch it.
So they said, so the new definition of the word fag is guys who like to ride their motorcycles loud.
Perfect.
And disturb everyone's peace riding their boat, revving their around. Hey, what's up, fag? Look at those fags.
Perfect.
They go to Congress. This is hate speech. Blah, 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 blah. I love Trey Stone and Matt Parker. They're American.
They did a great job. I love them. I love that show. Yeah, so, it's one of those things, like how everything changed when I realized that, when I was going through I get frustrated even thinking about it. Like, because it's one of those things that you realize that it's like something that happened a while ago, and it's like, wow, well, we're already freaking way too late. And then they accelerated it like out of like crazy. Like after 2015, when gay marriage got passed, everything switched immediately. Like all of the infrastructure that had been built out, because I mean, it was obviously that they had to figure out what to do with all this money, this machinery, all this like advocacy campaigning, and all these people that they've got entrenched now for like 20 years. Like, what's the next mission?
Yeah, exactly. And I felt at one point, you know, right about the time when we passed gay marriage, it was like, well, we won.
Yeah. No, I mean, I felt like great. Like, I relapsed. It was one of those things, like, it's chill. Like, I mean, and then, yes, I exactly. Like, it was like a sense of relaxed. It was in 2015, right?
Something like that, yeah. It was like, was it Obama? Did Obama pass it?
It was under Obama. It was under Obama that it happened, but it was the Supreme Court that did it.
Right, exactly. It wasn't Obama. It was the Supreme Court.
Obama tried to stop it, actually. Fun fact, Obama tried to stop. I will say this. Obama tried to stop gay marriage being passed, just so everyone knows. He did
Joe Biden back in the day.
He did too, yes. But
Joe Biden was braced for his whole career.
Overspell was happening. He tried to freaking stop
it. So did Hillary.
Yes, he tried to stop it. So,
like, so did Bush Jr.
Yeah, like, straight. Literally. So it's like, I scream that. I keep screaming that from the mountaintops. I will always, anytime I have the chance to do it, I will say it. So yeah, no, that was crazy when in 2015, the machinery switched over to the transgender, all of it. Like, it became immediate, like overnight.
And all these studies came out.
Yep.
Studies.
Yep.
And that's like
most have been debunked now, and like they've all been like ruined, and they like started all this bullshit, and it's like most of them have been like discredited and shown to be completely fraudulent and like messed up. And so I like, obviously not all of them, but like I'm gonna say like most have been discredited, and like to have started this whole movement based on all that stuff, which is just like asinine, when like a lot of the justification were those studies, and then it's like not real. It's like, but then everybody is like, it's so real. I'm gonna cut up my whole body.
And what, you know, on that note, this is something that I noticed, and like I told you earlier, my childhood at one point, I was institutionalized because of some shit. But you know, I don't know what year it was that we kind of got rid of mental asylums in this country. Do you feel that they are purposely pushing anybody with any mental illness at all into the LGBT community?
Yes. Well, and I don't even necessarily think it's like some people are doing it purposefully, but I don't think most people are just going along with like what they think or they're supposed to be doing, which I think is the real tragedy in all of this.
Do you feel like there's a nefarious, like from Big Brother, there's something
Big Brother, I think a lot of times when you think about this transgender stuff, if you think about who stands to benefit the most, it's the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry when they're trying to like medicalize all these people. So I think they identified a vulnerable population in all these people that have mental illnesses. Because I think the real like nexus between a lot of this is like these vulnerable people that, I mean, it's really sad if you really think about it. It genuinely is. They are genuinely being preyed upon, but they, like, yeah, for their own, for all intents and purposes, they cannot get out of their own way when people are trying to help them. And they can't, a lot of them still just can't accept, because to them, this was, it's two people, two sides are winning. The mentally ill people are winning because it's an out, so that they don't have to feel like they're mentally ill, because they're affirmed into some identity that shows like, truly, look, I'm not actually some psychopathic person that needs help or whatever pathological issue. Like, no, I just have five different personalities and it's normal. Ha ha. And it's like, great. And I'm also on every single medication and I'm on these different things and I'm going to pump my body through with all these different hormones and things. And it's like, who's making all this money off of this? Like, it's just, it's crazy. And yeah, that whole thing where then you're not even allowed to question it either, because otherwise you're a bigot, mm-hmm, or just like hateful and you don't want them to.
Depends on what state you're in.
Yeah.
Depending on what state you're in, you say the wrong thing to someone and now literally it's a crime.
I think it's actually even down to what town you're in, really, because even in Florida, sometimes you got some crazies lurking around. Like, they're around. They exist. You said you're in, like, what is it, like, Central Florida?
Yeah, yeah, I'm up in Orlando.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yo, then you know, I would say Orlando's got most of the crazies up there. Like, I would say in our state, Orlando is central, because even though I'm in South Florida.
I make sure everybody knows.
Yeah, Orlando's crazy. Like, they lurk around up there.
What would you say, you know, because like I said, we both kind of share this current view where I personally, I don't think the LGBT community serves even the community anymore.
No, not at all. No.
You know, like you said, from my perspective, you know, I think half of the illogical ideology is coming from the fact that people who do need help are getting lumped into the community under all these different pseudo sexual identities.
Yeah.
So that way, because look, you know, like we said earlier and talked about earlier, half the reason for the community is, you know, you grow up wanting to feel a part of something.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. We talked about this in the last episode a little bit. Like, when you're first coming out, you want to feel surrounded by like this, you want to say, call it a community. You want to call it like an envelope of support, like whatever you want to feel like or call it. But yeah, exactly. We touched on it before too. Yeah.
And then, like I said earlier, what you have here is these people that have felt victimized their whole lives. All suddenly they're getting kind of armed by legislation and government.
Yes.
And they're feeling emboldened to push these untested ideologies, these unsafe ideologies. And literally it is mental illness running amok. And it is a very, very minority speaking with audacity to the majority.
Yep.
In such a way that I can remember from the 90s, eventually you will get yourself punched in the mouth.
No, it's like dictatorial. Like it's like quite in, yeah, exactly. It's like there's no room for even any wiggle or any like debate, or even like it's like you accept what they're dictating. Like it's like they're ramming their boot down your mouth and you have to literally just accept it. And the boot is the most insane psychopathic thing you've ever experienced.
It's not even a boot anymore. It's just a dildo on a strap-on.
That's actually a better analogy. It's actually
the alien company, Bad Dragon. It's a Bad Dragon dildo that are trying to shut down your esophagus that doesn't fit.
Yeah, exactly.
When was the last time you saw somebody from the LGBT community have a debate with someone not from the community without letting their emotions pour into the conversation?
Never. I've never seen it. Never. No, it always ends up devolving into like some kind of an emotional kind of ploy about how now they're being like victimized, or they're not being, their truth isn't being taken seriously, or whatever. They will come up with something. They always come up with some weird little narrative in the end, and it's always emotional. It's always emotionally driven because they don't want to like accept or even think about their own. Well, I think it's all like a lesson in cognitive dissonance. Like they don't really want to accept like that their actions are not that in line with like what the reality of the world thinks is appropriate. Like they can't accept it. Like,
yep.
So
how do you feel? You know, and this is like gonna be the last part here. How do you feel about the community now being pushed into elementary schools and in front of kids now? And it's almost, you know, you can almost see Disney getting into it a little bit. And we literally have in some states where parents can lose their kids if they refuse to let their kids choose their own gender before they even know what the fuck gender is.
Like that kind of stuff to me is like what radicalized me, if I'm even call it radicalization.
Yeah.
Common sense, like personally, but like if you're gonna call it what it is, like radicalized me. It's like when they started putting this shit into like the schools with kids, where then like the teacher can then arbitrarily go behind the parents' back and like basically like remove the kid from the parents almost. Like, and it's like they get then enlist a whole host of bureaucrats, basically. It's a bunch of people that don't actually have any, they probably, none of them have even kids of their own. Like, it's honestly just horrifying when like that's the reality, where these people can just make a snap judgment and take your kids because of something that the kid doesn't understand, that they were probably told about by an adult or some external influence, because they don't know what these things are. They don't know, like, no kid knows that they're not the right gender. Like, they don't know that. Like, yeah. It goes back to the thing where I was like, I think I was like 9 years old when my mom even told me like that my uncle was gay, which like then was like, what does gay mean? Like, I didn't even know what that meant. Like, it's just like one of those things where like kids don't know what those things are unless like you literally tell them. Like, you, like, so that's always where I'll go back to, like, it's the adults in the room that you got to keep your good eye on. Like, and it's like, well, also, as I was molested when I was a kid too, we didn't even talk about that. So it's like I have a heightened situationally, like I don't want to call it like a trauma when it comes to, like, response when it comes to it, but like I get like fucking crazy when it, like, makes my eyes when it comes to like how kids are going to be like victimized by these things, because it's so like they're so vulnerable, like they don't understand what's going on, what the problem is, what is bad, what is not bad, or what is like actually evil. Like they don't understand. And especially when it's wrapped in this way that is like, they make it seem all nice with all rainbows and all these little euphemisms and every little thing. And it's like, you can be a furry little dog if you want. And it's like, no, the fuck you can't.
No, yeah. If, like, that's something we let kids, like, maybe in a non-sexual way, pretend to do when they're, like, 3, 4. But eventually,
yeah, like little
we kind of got to come back to reality here. Because if I don't teach you, little fucker, to become an actual good thinking
functional adult.
Adult. Like, I gotta connect you with reality.
Wild, yeah. It's like there's an adulthood that will be coming, and there is a functionality that you're gonna need to survive. But I mean, the government doesn't want that. I remember, because I think there's a whole bunch of factions in the government that like really just wants everyone to be dependent. So they the idea for them also is just great, because then they don't have people that are functional really. So then everyone's just dependent.
How do you feel about gender affirming care for people under 18?
Oh, I think it's really bad. I think people can do whatever they want when you're an adult, because I think that's just up to you. My personal opinion about it is like, let your freak flag fly in private to yourself, like, and pay for it yourself. Don't ever put it on tax dollars. And like, sure, cut off your whatever you want to cut off, and that's that. But don't like let children do it, because they don't understand the real ramifications. Don't put them on medications that like are going to stunt their development, that are going to ruin their lives down the line when they like can't have children.
It's irreversible.
All that kind of stuff, because it's a problem. They can't do that. Like, well, they're doing it, but like they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And I even was posting earlier that I think like the medical licenses, like the medical boards are actually really like negligent here now. And especially from a legal perspective, like they're negligent here because they're allowing this harm to continue. And they have the oversight of these licenses of these physicians that are doing this. So it's the same, because I think about it like from a legal perspective, like everything goes back to the bar. So like if you're like in violation, if you're not holding up your oath, if you're not doing what you need to do properly, you will literally get your fucking license taken away from you. And that should be happening to these physicians, because they are doing major harm. And that's a big problem. And I get mad, dude. Like, I'm gonna have to work out extra hard after this, because I'll be thinking about
it. So you know, I'm someone who didn't even smoke pot until I was about 23. And one of the things that I heard about, one of the reasons why you shouldn't even smoke pot until you're about 23, 24, 25 is because the human brain is not even fully developed until then.
No, alcohol too. That's why.
Yeah, I'm personally in favor of not allowing anyone to be given taxpayer dollars to medically go either which way until they reach, let's say, 25.
Oh, I don't think tax dollars should ever be allowed to be given any for it ever under any circumstances. When you start doing that kind of stuff, like you can get mental health care, and you don't have to literally like pay and have all these procedures done. Like I think that especially with like the tax dollars part of it is like actually something I'm a hardliner on.
Yeah.
Like it's so hard for me to justify why the collective needs to pay for your, to me, it's a cosmetic surgery to affirm something you have going on.
Right.
Like what that is. It's an elective surgery. Like,
would you say
to survive? That's what I mean. You don't need it to survive. That's why is my, am I paying for that? That's how I feel.
I fully agree with you on that. Now, you know, we both have a fair amount of experience with the community. And in my former career, you know, I was one of the first models to really openly outwardly work with the trans community. Mm-hmm. And from my observation, I would have to say that.
Did you do it with an FTM?
No, actually, I never, you know, the only one I knew about at the time was Buck.
Okay, yeah.
And honestly, I respect Buck. I respect the hell.
I've seen him on Twitter a bunch. Yeah,
because even he, if he got on this podcast right now, he would agree with everything we've been saying.
Oh, of course, yeah, exactly. And I have a rule when it comes to the transgender people. Like, and me and my husband have talked about this at length, because like how to like draw the line about like when we'll like allow them to like when I'll like say their pronoun or whatever that they want. It's like if you're genuinely passing, like if you've actually obviously gone, like I think of also like Blair White and stuff. Have you seen
Right.
like
No,
stuff?
no, no, no.
Well, like you can look up
Yeah.
her Blair White. She also, to me, it's like I literally
But
thought that
case
Blair White was a girl for a while, and then I was like, someone told me that Blair White
case in
wasn't.
point, what you're saying right now is what is where I'm at. You know, it's like
Exactly. Like if you're fully there, if you've literally gone all the fucking way and I can't fucking tell. And I mean, like, I'm not even gonna be that cruel because I have a discerning eye, I think. Like, if like I would say the average person would probably not be able to tell. I'll give it to you.
And
I'll
you
give it.
know, I think you know, even though even the majority of us that do have hard opinions on because mental illness is something that nobody asks for.
Exactly.
You know, I tell people, I was like, you really shouldn't be celebrating trans people, and it's not because they don't deserve respect, but I can't tell you a single trans person, either with their head on their shoulders or not with their head on their shoulders, that asked to be born trans.
No, I mean, it was
Like,
that I think gay people are too in that way too. No one asks to be born this way or whatever. It's just like you have to do what you can. And in that way, I think gay people and trans people can have a discussion and understand that as a commonality that, like, it's not something you ever ask for. And it's not to say that being gay is a mental illness in the way that I think being transgender is. It's just something that, like, societally, it's a deviation from the norm that then you have to overcome and deal with as a functional adult in your life.
and it is
And
gender dysphoria.
exactly, yes, because
And
gay people are not doing that. We're not like taking off our freaking genitals, changing
exactly. It's
them.
like, you
There's
know,
a whole different situation happening. It's a whole different thing.
you
And for
store
it really
you.
pisses me off too. I can't stand the teaming when they say, oh, we're all through the same thing. The only thing I would give you is that no one asks for to be gay and no one asks to be trans. That's
I like I said, being gay, you can still be you and be gay, but
exactly. It's not about not being you. Exactly. It's
the
not
whole
accepting. You
trans
can
thing,
still accept yourself. Transgenderism is like the antithesis of accepting yourself.
it's hell on earth for
Exactly.
them,
That's
you
exactly it.
know.
And I think that what you were saying when it comes to like, we shouldn't be celebrating them. I think that, like, in a way, we shouldn't be celebrating them the way we do. If they want to
Right.
be celebrated, they can be
They deserve
celebrated, but
peace.
it has to be, if they want visibility, like, they need to be celebrated and given visibility in the correct context.
Right.
Like,
Become a doctor.
it's not gonna, exactly, it's not all gonna be so perfectly happy and affirming to your ego where you're gonna be like wanting everyone to say that you're not mentally ill. Like, but you're gonna get. People are going to be coming from a place of pity, really. Like, if you really think about it, because they feel sorry for you, because it is something that no one really wishes on somebody. I don't wish that on anybody.
Yes.
Like, I'm not like hoping that people turn out to be trans. I genuinely feel sorry for them when that happens, because I genuinely know that that is something that is so difficult and horrifyingly, like, it's so hard to overcome and accept and deal with in society. And then, especially if you're going to go all the way with it, where you're going to actually transition, like, oh my God, bless your heart. And I mean that with the utmost respect, because, like, I mean, like, I can't even say it another way, because it's like
I'm not, yeah, exactly.
so
I'm
many
not here
people
to
don't get a
banish
good
my trans
result. So
friends.
many people. So there's like, it's so many people don't get a good result. Cause I mean, for every Blair White, there's like 100 or maybe like 500 people that, like, literally will never ever achieve any sense of satisfaction with anything they do.
Absolutely.
And that's a
Real quick.
tragedy.
So Ty, before we get off here, I'd like to give you a chance to shout out your social medias. Anything you want to talk about, you got going on for yourself here. All yours.
Okay, so I don't really have much going on in like a bunch of social medias. I really just focus for the most part social media wise on X, formerly Twitter.
And what is your handle on there?
So my handle is, I'm gonna get it right because I almost always get it backwards, because my screen name is backwards from my handle. So my handle is at Tough Talk Ty, but the name is Ty's Tough Talk. So type in either one, I think I'll appear.
Absolutely. And I'll list that anybody for everybody here as well to see that when the podcast release. Ty, I want to thank you so much
Thank
for your
you. This has been
time
a
and
great
your
time.
honesty and your openness. This has been the My First Amendment podcast. I'm Christopher Ash. We'll see you soon.
And great exercising the amendment.
Yes.